Josh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Lur.
Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we are back. Wiggle Room, week number two of Survivor Winners at War. And we are back here for week two of the final ride here on the Survivor Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Holy crab cakes. What a week of Survivor. Oh my God. Holy crab cakes. Love a good crab cake.
Okay.
You know, I actually don't. That's a lie. That's a lie.
So I asked Denise Stapley. There was some confusion over that. I had asked Reem about because she was my expert in all things obscenity.
She knows. And she also knows, I think, geographically, she might be hip to the crab cakes, right? I think she's around those parts where they're popular.
Did Denise blurt out holy crab cakes when she found the idol? Or as Liana opened the B&B this week with Megan Z, maybe the all-time greatest B&B guest. I don't want to throw too hot of death. Certainly
don't
on the Mount Rushmore. Certainly on the Mount Rushmore. But Liana said, holy crab cakes is what she said. So I had to ask Denise, is your new idol finding catchphrase holy crab cakes or holy crap cakes?
Holy crab cakes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear it, I think when you just hear the audio, it does sound pretty clearly holy crap cakes. But I understand the confusion about holy crab cakes because
that's actually a thing.
The closed captioning has it as crab cakes.
Yeah.
If you watch it with the captioning on. So it's a difference of opinion in the Survivor universe. What a great moment in an ocean filled with delights here in the second week of Winners at War. This is fun stuff.
Yeah.
Really, really, really great times. Great times to be alive.
All right. So lots of stuff to talk about here with Josh Wiggler. Of course, we're going to get to the wand off where we will listen to the all-time record of wand off submissions, which were broken this week. We will not hear them all on this podcast, but 65 wand off songs came in this week.
That's crazy.
Jack.
Yes.
Yeah. Holy crab cakes
Holy
to that number.
Holy crab cakes to that. So 65 wand-offs came in this week, so we will listen to
the revolution to get us to not stop doing the wand-off. Like, they're going to come out en masse, that might inspire
us
to
big step closer to ending the wand-off.
Sooner, because it's so much work. I don't think you people realize how much work it is. That's so great. Very flattering. Very flattering, and really looking forward to getting into it in a little while.
Yeah. If you thought, if everybody sends in a wand off, then that will show them that, hey, we need the wand off to keep going.
We'll end it before the end of the season.
Adam Klein has some advice for you.
Oh my God, I think that's a terrible idea.
Okay. All right. Josh, a ton of stuff to talk about. I had jokingly tweeted after the episode. I echoed you once upon a time, and said, best season ever. Don't at me.
Yeah, and besting my record, too. I think I had enough chill to save that take for after the fourth episode of David vs. Goliath.
I was so pumped up after the episode.
Listen, it was a riot. I watched it in New York with a bunch of RHAP fans. It was super, super fun to watch this season in person with a bunch of listeners and like-minded Survivor fans. And this episode was a blast. There was just like thing after thing after thing that was cracking me up. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. Ton of great stuff to talk about. So I guess why don't we just pick your brain a little bit here of what was the thing that really got you going?
The thing that really got me going. I guess I can't believe that Boston Rob was able to do what he did at Tribal Council with a group of winners. That was insane to me. And I know there are some people who are really not thrilled with the tactic, who think it's crossing the intimidation line, that he's like forcing everybody to open their bags. But these are the winners. These are the winners of Survivor. How did that work? How did that level of groupthink work on this crew? Like, my jaw was just on the ground watching that scene. Was insane. The whole Tribal Council was amazing this week.
Your jaw on the ground right now.
Yeah, right now, let's see what's inside. Put it on the ground. You don't want to see what's inside, Boston Rob. Let me just tell you, especially right now.
Yeah, I thought that was a really fun moment. And to get, you know, a Boston Rob moment, because I don't feel like that, and maybe Rob is going to be able to sort of be able to stabilize things right now. But do you feel like that Rob is in that much control over things right now?
Well, like I think that he is in some ways, and then in ways that are maybe more or at least equally meaningful, he's not. Like I think at a certain point, if you buy the show's narrative, and I know we're not supposed to necessarily accept the smokescreen, great wisdom from the great Jamal of what we're being shown on TV, but this is really what we have to analyze, is like if Danny's implosion, if the boat right was truly sinking at the level to which it seemed to be sinking, I think at a certain point it makes sense to like come to a consensus pick, stabilize the craziness of the first few days of the game, and just vote somebody off that everybody can agree on. But in like the perfect world where that can be restabilized, I think it's a bad thing for Rob, Ethan, and Parvati to have lost somebody from their supposed old school alliance right now. And I think that we're seeing a lot of material from the likes of Adam and Denise and Ben and Jeremy and Michelle that's going to... They've got all of the all they have to do is just get their ducks in a row and turn the tables on any one of those three. So if this tribe goes back to tribal anytime soon, I'm really nervous for one of those three. And I don't know what Boston Rob can do to stop that, short of like these Jedi mind tricks that he is pulling off here in this crazy season. And like that stuff can't be underestimated, because he's been the way that he bamboozled Ben in the premiere, the way that he bamboozled everybody at Tribal Council. Boston Rob is showing his skill set. And I think that he's also showing why he is either a late game player or an early game player. And I just haven't figured out yet where that's going to land for him this time.
Yeah. In talking about this week's Tribal Council, so I do text with our great friend T-Bird Cooper, and yes. T-Bird texted me during the week. She said that she thought that this was a bad move for the old school players to vote Danny out. She wanted to know, why didn't they just go back to Danny and get her back in the fold? Why not go to Danny and try to, you know, get her back on the side of the old school players? They need her number. Was this foolish for them to vote out Danny at this tribal council?
But when that happens, I think that that's accepting a reality where Danny hasn't had the conversation with Ben and Ethan that she's had, where she you know, underlines the old school, new school thing. And once that's out, like whatever relationships Rob is building with Ethan and Parvati and the additional parties, which you can imagine are, it seems like it's like Denise, Adam, and Ben, right? Like, I think that that is now in question, because Danny's identified that like the core group are the old schoolers. So I think like Rob, Parvati, and Ethan have to stopgap it to a certain degree and just be like, there is no old school thing. We're cutting Danny tonight. This thing doesn't exist, and hope that everybody else is going to buy into that at that point. Because even just having Danny at that point, and now like working with her, how are they going to? What is the mental gymnastics that have to occur to now get somebody else out of the game, even if they're able to somehow calm Danny down? And it seemed like whatever was going on with Danny was really pointed in the direction of Parvati. And it's telling that you don't see the two of them having any kind of conversation. Felt to me like there was an irreversible falling out between the two of them, is what it looked like.
Yeah, again, it's so hard to be able to decipher what's going on out there. Even the scene where it looks like Danny is on the beach, and then the old school players of Rob and Ethan and Parvati are like talking without Danny. That I went back and I was really trying to pay close attention to that. You never see one shot of Danny them, like, so you don't know like if Danny ever even saw them talking. Like, there's one part.
I think it's like sunset in the shot, like there's a real golden wash over the three of them. Like it feels like really late in the day for the shenanigans that are about to ensue.
Yeah. And because the way that scene is shot, like from in like the super wide version of it, there's sort of like a rock in the foreground. And I think that it sort of like is like giving you the perspective of that you're watching it like from Danny's POV, who they keep cutting back to. But I would bet that there was never a time when those three people were like off on their own and Danny was like down on the beach, just like not being asked to join them.
It just got me thinking about the fact that Survivor has anchored down in Fiji for the foreseeable future and has been here for so long. And I think it's been part of the conversation already that things are very familiar looking, certainly to players who I think have like some measure of Survivor PTSD when they're watching these seasons back, being like, hey, they're on my beach. That's my tree. But I think even for us as viewers, like, there's like that one rock with the hole in the middle of it at the edge of the beach. There's that one path where, you know, that's on the way to the water well that I think like most people are starting to readily identify. Just makes me think that like a new layer of Survivor observation that's starting to manifest is, can you tell when the edit's tricking you based on the geography? It's just such a weird thing to even conceptualize.
I thought you were going to say that Adam Klein should have been able to find the well at that camp just from watching the seasons
well,
in Fiji.
Yes. I think that there's a bit of that too, and I do call a little bit of BS on the plan of we got lost on the way to the well.
I guess he had never been at like, that Adam, camp like, in like, Millennials versus Gen X.
Yeah, but didn't he and Dave and Jay like very like famously on social media go back to all of those beaches? So like what's the excuse?
Nobody called that out yet.
You know, I buy hey, that as
dump your as, internet search history out right now.
You know, no, that's Yule's move. Yule knows. Like that wouldn't have gone past Yule. He had Googled that already.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I don't know. But I think the Danny thing, like it was amazing to watch the Danny implosion was kind of wild. Cause you know, the whole like thing of Danny wasn't even under the radar. She beat the radar.
Stealth
bomber was her winning tactic. And, we got a lot of Danny in the two episodes that we have of her in the active game thus far. Mm-hmm. Who knows with the edge of extinction, who knows what could happen, with Danny returning at some point down the line. But I just thought it was really compelling to me to see Danny in like the stealth bomber going down the way that it did. Very, very dramatic.
Yes, very, very dramatic way to see Danny go out of the game.
Unexpected. Not what I would have expected.
Unexpected because, you know, I think that was a big discussion that we had in the evolution of strategy of, you know, how do we, it's hard to rate Danny as a winner in terms of her game because, that, you know, there's times where she sort of like disappears from, the show for long stretches of time, basically like the whole first half of the merge. And then she comes back and then there's sort of like, you know, a couple versions of the history of Guatemala, depending on who you believe. And then, you know, so we were really like counting on this information from this season to really help us, you know, shade in the missing information from Guatemala.
And we just haven't gotten a lot from her in the two episodes that we got with her actively playing the game that points to the direct. I mean, like, I think the thing that we got is like it makes some sense now why Danny didn't ever like speak up her plans, allegedly, while doing confessional or like really doing like open strategizing. Because when she does it, she says the very wrong thing to the very wrong person.
Yeah.
It is, what were you doing? And that moment from Ethan being like, you know who this guy is, right? Was I mean, not even a great look for Ethan either to be able to like, I think like Ethan had to pivot better than he did, but the extreme severe awkwardness of the situation. And I even loved Ben being like, well, this is awkward. It was just so palpable. You hate it for him, Rob, but it's, the flame out can be delightful to watch. And it was a really spectacular, final portion of the episode this week for sure.
So I want to talk about the thing that so many Survivor fans were really captivated by, the quest for breadfruit. And I want to...
I had never even heard of breadfruit
before. No, I know.
Before.
Who knew?
Is it like you open it up and there's like a loaf of bread inside? Because that sounds delightful. Like it's just like soft, mushy white bread that you could just like toast up on the fire. Yeah. If that's a breadfruit,
I asked Jamal about it. He said it's kind of like a starchy fruit or vegetable that you use to make into a flour, but that's besides the point. But our own Dr. Mike Zahalski had tweeted something about this. He said, I love the dichotomy between at Yul Kwan's way of getting breadfruit and Tony's way. Two different strategic minds, two totally different ways of accomplishing the same task. At Survivor CBS gave us a life lesson. I think this is the essence of Survivor. So we had a question that came in for the feedback show this week from the great Stephanie Bourgeois, who says, the latter scenes seem symbolic for Yul and Tony. How would you describe their gameplay strategies based on these scenes? It's the Wiggle Room, and we like to talk about the characters here. Josh, what do you think of this idea that the way that Yul and the way that Tony approached the breadfruit search were embodiments of how they play the game of Survivor?
First of all, shout out to the Sisters Bourgeois, hot dogs forever. Secondly, I loved this. And I think that like a lot of attention rightfully fell on the Tony's Ladder scene, because it's just a ridiculous scene and so many different perspectives weighing in on it. And I think that the scene was very telling of a lot of different players, not just Tony, and even Yul's tactic from earlier in the episode. I think like the perspectives you got, as funny as they were from like Tyson and Sophie specifically, I think were pretty telling about them. Like Tyson saying like, maybe I've got my read on Tony all wrong. Maybe he does believe he's an expert construction worker. I think it's both a funny gag, but also kind of a sign of like, after he had tried to target Tony a little bit earlier, then maybe even someone as talented at Survivor as Tyson is having to kind of readjust his opinions on the fly.
Even a double meaning too.
How is this guy still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what we're all saying here. Three hours into the show. Yeah. Well, I can't believe how is Tony still alive?
Well, so it's great because what Yul does to get down the breadfruit, that he creates like the lasso, right? Like he comes up with like the surgical tool to get the breadfruit down from the tree, and he's successful in looping one down. Like that's the Yul Kwan way of doing business. He's very cerebral. He's always trying to think of like the sharpest way to get into a problem, the most efficient way of getting into a problem. And it often comes across to him as like second nature, but to the rest of us, it's like very clever and beyond our ken of understanding.
Yes.
Like there's the great scene about surface area with feet back in Cook Islands 1. So I think it's very it embodies Yul very well.
With Yul, not to mention he also was concerned that he was expending more calories hunting for the breadfruit than he was going to take in from eating the breadfruit.
Right. So maybe ultimately not the right way to go. But I think what's compelling to me is actually like the Yul strategy of getting the breadfruit down versus the Tony strategy of getting the breadfruit down. Both of those are strategies that you can metaphorically apply to the way that Tony has played Survivor. Where like there's Kagyan, where he assembles this crazy ladder that absolutely should not get him to the top of the tree, and he's going to break rungs in the ladder as he goes, and people are going to be watching him thinking like, hey, please don't die. Please don't fall off that ladder and die, but I'm kind of expecting you to fall off that ladder and die. And instead, he gets the breadfruit. Instead, he's able to get all the way to the top and win the thing. But he came back for round two, and he basically tried an approach that's similar to what Yul is doing right now. You know, he came in with his preconceived notions. He came in with the clones, right? Like he wanted to have these rocks that he cherished every night and symbolized as his family. And then he would entrust them with someone who he was about to blindside, and he'd feel good about it because he was actually giving them fake rocks. So you got punked, you got surprised by the clones. There's the spy bunker maneuver. Like he was talking mad game in the preseason of Game Changers, and we saw how that worked out. And that was the energy that he took into that season. He gets knocked out second. And I think we are all in awe of the fact that not only has Tony survived 2 weeks and three tribal councils of a Survivor season, after everything that we know about him from Kagyan, after everything we saw in Game Changers, but seems to be thriving to mm-hmm. a certain degree. Like, we got great strategic content from him this week with the resurrection of Cops R Us, and with Sarah saying, like, I knew that everybody would love Tony if they just gave him a chance. I think, like, the tone of the latter scene really speaks to the fact that people are enjoying Tony. Art would be devastated, not just on, like, the pure horror level of losing Tony from the game based on falling from the ladder, but also because they're enjoying his company and they are genuinely enjoying being around this guy. That I think that seeing him back on the ladder and playing the game the way that he's playing it right now, assessing the situation on the ground without any preconceived notions and acting accordingly, this is why we're getting Tony to the degree that we're getting right now. And I can't imagine that this is coincidentally on the show. Like, it really does feel to me like Tony has got some story to be told this season, which is really exciting. Hopefully that story is like he climbs the ladder all the way to the top. But I think the story could also be like, is he going to fall? And when is he going to fall? And is he going to fall spectacularly? So the Tony gods have really smiled upon us here in Winners at War so far. The Tony content has just been spectacular.
Yeah, really amazing to see. What a world we live in.
What a world we live in where, like, Tony is very comfortable on his tribe and Kim is very much not.
Yeah.
Where, like, Kim Spradlin is, like, very clearly at the bottom of that group's dynamics based on the edit, at least, based on what we're seeing in the story. And brutal to watch. Brutal to watch, like, the moment where she goes to Sophie, thinks that she's got somebody to confide in based on their shared know-it-alls alliance that I guess Yule did not Google ahead of time, and coming to Sophie and saying, that's why I needed to find you.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like the gremlin-y way she says that, which is amazing. And Sophie, like, seemingly, like, being like, I don't know that I'm the right person for this. I think you probably should have talked to somebody else. That's sad. It breaks my heart to see Kim in such a tough spot here right now. Encouraging that, like, she knows it. She's self-aware enough to know, like, I'm in trouble. I'm in danger. But I just, it's hard for me right now to see what's the clear way out, for Kim. I'm not optimistic.
Josh, did you like the half idols?
So I guess I'm confused on them to a certain extent. So now, like, now that they've survived Sunset, can Adam just give his half back to Denise and now she's got the idol? Do they have to play it together? Was it just like you need to confide in somebody so that it survives the night? I like it insofar as it's like it's enhancing the social component. And I do applaud Survivor is making strides in that direction. Issues that I have with the way that like the fire tokens are doled out through EOE, I do appreciate the way that they're more I like the idea of a social currency being literalized. I think that there's potential here, and I think that we are seeing that to a certain degree, and I think that that's really fun. And I think that this like half idol situation is a further step in that direction of making it like a little bit less about the scavenger hunt in the woods that nobody really gives a crap about anymore, or a crab even about anymore.
Is that why Denise says that when she finds an idol?
Yeah, yeah. No one gives a crab about these treasure hunts, but here I am, holy crab cakes, finding one.
Yeah.
So I like it. I think that it led to some good material in terms of the story, both as tragic as it is, because I really enjoy both Sophie and Kim, and I would love to see them figure this out. But the way that Sophie's talking about it, I'm just not optimistic for Kim. But I really liked the way that it played out with Denise. Finding it alongside Ben's strategy of like, I don't need to be the guy who gets the idols, but if I can help people, you know, use my skill set to find idols and then develop trust with these people, that was really, really clever of Ben. A man who gets so much hate that he does not deserve on the internet. I'm a big Ben Driebergen fan, and I think that he's been a delight this season so far. Whether it's like the disco dancing that has been memeified to death so far, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. But just the way that he played that, I thought was really intelligent, actually. And even if Adam wasn't like so hip to it, I think that it presents like an interesting dilemma for Denise, that she seems to have like this tight thing with Adam fancying himself the new Malcolm versus Ben, who is like kind of like seeing himself as somebody who can be in close concert with Denise. But you know, Ben thinking that maybe he and Adam are going to be able to work this game together, Adam expressing some reservations about it. I think the underpinnings of a really good dramatic story are right there. So insofar as all of that, I did enjoy the half vitals. I think it produced good content.
Okay, so Josh, we have a record high number of Wandoff submissions. So let's start to work towards that.
We'll get into that. And if there's other stuff to talk about, we'll get it on the fly for sure.
We'll stop down there. So let me just thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush. And they want you to know that the one single discovery that matters most about your dental care is simply this. If you have good habits, you're good. That means if you just brush for 2 minutes twice a day and floss regularly, was Ben doing the floss or that he was doing a different dance?
No, I think it was a different dance.
Okay.
But don't ask me. I don't know what it was.
No matter what,
whatever it was magical.
No matter what brand you use, Quip is going to make that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has a sensitive sonic vibration with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide you to a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you just enough. You don't need Ben's help to help you find where the string is to be able to get your floss going.
I thought you were going to say, I don't need Ben's help to floss me.
No.
I was like, well, I don't know.
I'm not going to floss, but I can teach you to floss.
Yeah, you can teach me to floss.
Plus, Quip delivers a fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so the routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. I love my Quip. It really is a cool, like, futuristic toothbrush, and it helps you remember which quadrant to move on to. It gives you, like, a little pulse that lets you know when it's time to move on. You don't have to figure out how long you're brushing your teeth for. If you go to getquip.com/Rob right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/Rob. That's getquip.com/Rob. Quip, the good habits company.
Oh, man. I need to develop just like better habits generally. You know, so starting with the teeth is always a good idea. You want that fresh breath.
It's a good
fresh
idea.
Fresh breath on the beach is a good idea.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life. If you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda. It's the Wanda forever.
Burn out.
If you need to. You can straight up leave here.
Wandoff. We broke the record. We did it.
Crazy, crazy, crazy week in Wombat Nation, Rob. Don't even know where to start.
Yes. Okay. Last week, we talked about how Josh Wiggler had an idea, wanted to sell 200 Wombats hats for a good cause, raise money for charity. And by the time the Wandoff hit your iPhone by lunchtime on the East Coast, all the hats were gone.
That's crazy. That's wild. I don't even like. Thank you. You guys are the best. This is amazing. Holy crab cakes is right. That's crazy. I mean, I certainly hoped like we could sell all the hats. I did not think that we could sell all the hats by noon. The day that we dropped the podcast is utterly bananas to me, and really proud of the community because that's money that's going to go to some really good causes. I feel really, really good about that. That's awesome.
Okay. So we are going to start to work on getting those shipped out soon. So hang in there.
Yeah, how's that going?
Hang in there.
it's an endeavor, right?
We have not started. Just a little peek behind the curtain. So, you know, I do have some help around here. And so
I'm envisioning that you are just slaving away every night, boxing very preciously
one of
the wombat hats just by yourself.
At one point in the history of Rob as a Podcast, I was, you know, stuffing every envelope myself that we do. Yeah. We do have a team over here, and so I'm
like
supervising
elite squad.
I'm supervising what's going on over here. So we're
Oh wow! So you're deputy hat bitch. You're not even junior deputy. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Yeah. So we're working on it. We hope to have the first hats leaving here this week. So we'll hang in there.
Okay. Sure. And I hear the calls from people who are like, how did it sell out so fast? I couldn't even get it. Let us figure out the logistics on how this stuff is getting shipped out. And then we will tackle that problem. We're gonna deal with wave one first.
Yes.
And then we'll figure out how to do whatever comes next.
Let's see how long it takes us to get these first 200 hats out of the house. You know,
I've got
stacks of boxes around here. It's
We can come up with a plan, but let's see how this goes first, and then let's come up with an appropriate plan.
Okay. All right. Of course, then this week we had the all-time record in most wand offs submitted. I'm not sure. Maybe we topped 50. We never topped 60 before. 65.
I remember being in the 50s before, but I do not remember ever crossing the 60 wand off threshold, which is madness to me. Absolutely insane. Now, how many of them are from Aaron and Jordan is my question.
No spoilers.
Yeah,
no spoilers. Okay. All right. So I just want to say before we get into this, you know, Casey Kasem, you know, spends a lot of time going through all these. First, you know, the way this works, you know, Randy Neupel goes through, listens to everything, gets it all on a spreadsheet for Casey Kasem to come in and look at and make that final call. This is a week. There is a lot of gold that did not get into the show this week. And so what we do is we put that all into a SoundCloud playlist, which is available. All the patrons of Rob as a Podcast, that is available to you. robasawebsite.com/patron. We'll have that uploaded on Monday night if you want to listen to all. So I think 63 songs made the playlist. I think that there was a couple.
Oh, no.
Sometimes SoundCloud is like, copyright, you know.
Right. I've run into that.
Not every single song that gets submitted. It's not like that, unless you send in something that's really offensive. We put it all up on the SoundCloud, and you can curate it yourself. But sometimes something will get flagged for a copyright, and then SoundCloud takes it down automatically. I think 63 songs are up there right now for you guys to listen to. So check that out at robswebsite.com/patron. Of course, all week long, you guys were voting for the winner of week one of the final wand off.
Oh, tough job for the voters this week, as it often is. But wand off really came back lit.
Yeah. It was a close race in week one. In third place, a wand off champion many times over, Alex G came in third place with 20.84% of the vote.
Okay.
It's a
good showing, Alex G. Good showing.
It was a close showdown for the top spot. In second place with 28.42% of the vote, it was a perennial runner-up in the Wandoff who finally won one last season, Becky and Taylor with Sandra Diaz-Twine. And the winner of this week's Wandoff, two gentlemen that have both separately won weeks of the Wandoff, but never have won one together on their first collaboration. Here's Adam B. and Bob with two B's for their song about Ethan Zahn.
Yes. Oh my God, that was so good.
Do I have the lyric right in that song that he's so first class and the man can kiss his ass?
I think so.
The man.
But who's the who? Like the boss? Like the establishment?
Yeah. That, Ethan was taking on the man. Rules.
He's a no-collar. He started his own foundation. He's lived his life his own. He's a hustler. Yeah. Screw the man.
Yeah. Ethan has a message for the man, if you're listening.
Dude, you suck today.
That was such a good point. Who has like the fortitude to walk right up to Boston Rob's face and say, you sucked today?
Ethan's really funny, and he's got like a really great like deadpan sense of humor. And I'm glad it's coming out in season 40.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. Because I think like the Ethans that we've seen on the show before, the Eason's, if you prefer, have always been like the great, kind, spirited hero.
In All Stars, I think you saw frustrated Ethan.
You saw bits of that as well, but it was still like kind of like coming from like this like noble warrior type of place. Mm-hmm. And I think like there's like a great sort of like, I mean, you talked about it with Jamal, and it's a little trite, but it is like the king and the queen and the jack sort of thing. Like he's sort of like the jester of the crew to some degree. And he's great comic relief.
Well, just to go back to, you know, people, you know, sort of trying to find their, you know, foothold, like, you know, Ethan's original strategy on Survivor Africa was like, hey, I don't want to be the coach.
Right.
I want to be the assistant coach. Everybody hates their coach and they like the assistant coach. And I think that Ethan feels very comfortable with looking at Rob in sort of like ironically the Lex role. And then, he's out in front. And then I'm the guy that everybody's coming to and like, hey, Ethan, Rob is kind of being a little overbearing. What do you think? I'll talk to him. I think he likes that spot.
It's great. It's a great spot for him, and I sincerely hope it serves him very well. Certainly as my winner pick. Mm-hmm. I'm loving what we're getting out of Ethan.
Our dual winner pick.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, is he yours as well?
Yes. You announced it first. I said, there's another one. It's not been great luck for the dual winner picks.
We are always lockstep with the winner picks. We really need to talk about this ahead of time because I think we're both not going to, like, this is not good for both of us.
Yeah.
Like, I feel very bad about my winner pick now.
Oh, sorry.
Have we ever had a shared winner pick that's gone on to win?
No. I mean, unless you picked Denise Stapley in the Philippines.
No, I don't think I did. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Holy crap.
Great week for Denise, by the way.
Yeah.
But great job for Adam B and Bob with two Bs. Speaking of winners here with the Ethan's on Pokemon Anthem. Still down for that Pokemon podcast.
I saw a lot of people asking for it.
I know. I just love to say the word Pokemon. Just makes me very, very happy. And again, they joined the people who won wand-offs during Island of the Idols as entrance to the final wand-off here, for the final wand-off here for Winners at War, Wombats at War, the likes of which include Corey B., Kiri and Alex, Becky and Taylor, Jenny and Phil T, Mike from Massachusetts. Then Becky and Taylor won again with Dave from Ohio. So Dave from Ohio is along for the ride as well. So it's already a robust list here after 2 weeks of the Wiggle Room.
All right. Well, let's welcome in the great legendary host of the Wand Off here. Here he is back for one last ride on the Wand Off, the great Casey Kasem. Casey, how are you?
Rob and Josh, it is an honor and a jervis to be back with you here in week number two of Winners at War.
Casey, you were in astral spectral projection form out there during Winners at War, and we appreciate your no spoiler policy, but can you give us some insight into what it was like watching the Danny Boatwright meltdown as somebody else who is used to being invisible? Did I break you? You all right?
It was wild that Boston Rob wanted me to dump out my bag, and I was like, not on your life.
Yeah. It'd be very hard to get all of your contents back into the bag with no, physical form.
I was like, no way, Jose.
Did you find the hole okay? It's my question.
It's never been a problem for me.
Carry on. Tally-ho.
Josh, it was a jam-packed, loaded week on the wand off, and we'll kick things off with some honorable mentions. Of course, the person who got a lot of attention this week was none other than Boston Rob Mariano. And he started off this week with some bad news about losing his lovely wife in the game to the edge of extinction. Here is how Boston Rob was feeling, according to James from Canada.
When I figure out just who voted out my Amber, I'll make them wish they were never born.
So glad my cameo from Coach got turned into a wand off by somebody.
Oh, I feel like it's not impossible that we'll have to ban Coach cameo wand offs the way that we've banned We Didn't Start the Fire the deeper we get into the season. There's very good use of it, though. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Again, if you haven't checked it out, people, seek it out. Very good stuff. Super funny.
Next up, then, Boston Rob. After he lost the challenge by not doing the puzzle needed to get to thinking about what to do in the vote. So there was only one place where Boston Rob was able to do his best thinking. Here's a song about that from Lindsay Types.
I'm strategizing at the string with a ring on it. Strategizing at the string with a ring on it. Wearing a hat that's got a little B on it. Strategizing at the string with a ring on it. Dump your bag out and let me see your bag. Dump your bag out. Let's see what's in your bag.
That was from Mikey Beyonce.
The ring game. What is this?
It's like what something that you do at a carnival. It's impossible to win.
There it is. It's the carnival games and Survivor kind of go hand in hand.
Hey, so. Step right up.
Nah.
Who can get the ring on the nail?
I hear you'll Boston win. Rob can tell how much you weigh just by looking at you.
You can win this giant Melonio doll.
You wouldn't give that away. Maybe for the right price. I don't know.
You could win a replica.
Oh, man. It seems like a fun game, though.
yeah.
Feels like something my cat would do, you know?
Does like Boston Rob have like a scratching post also?
You know, you just see him lying down on a branch, just pawing at it. But it was like he was like pawing at the string the way like my two new kittens are doing right now. We've got like a toy that has like a dangly thing that we've just like put in a high place in the apartment, and all they do is just like swipe at it. And that's what like Boston Rob was doing with the ring. Just like fruitlessly like pawing at the ring. It's very bizarre behavior, but it looked kind of fun.
It would have been nice to have seen him hit one, but I feel like that not on the kind of day he was having.
Now, I didn't obviously finish Island of the Idols. Was there any kind of like carnival aspect to the elaborate shelter that he ended up building?
No, I don't know.
How was the shelter, by the way? Catch me up. Was it a mansion? Was it impressive?
It was very impressive, and it sort of culminated in a big scavenger hunt. So I guess. I guess there was kind of like a...
What? Like there was like a find, like the deceased millionaire's like hidden treasure?
There was... Well, since you asked that... The final five went out there, and they received commemorative final five buffs for making the final five.
Very neat.
And there was a series of clues, sort of One Eye Willy style, that with leading people on the hunt to go and find a hidden immunity idol hidden inside Robin Sandra's treehouse. Okay.
Wow. Hey, you guys. Wow. Who's the Mama Fratelli of Survivor?
Oh, that's Sue Hawk?
Sue Hawk, yeah. Yeah. The water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Richard's got quite the mouth on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's great. There's a scavenger hunt at Boston Robin Sandra's mansion. on Survivor. This is the first thing that I've heard that has kind of compelled me to maybe give IOI another look.
So go ahead and check that out.
Okay. All right. Sounds
fun. All right. Okay.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Then after Boston Rob got done strategizing by the string with a ring on it, he went to tribal council and had one last plan for the tribe that was gonna have to find out.
Oh no, he can't even finish it.
After strategizing, but with the string with a ring on it, Boston Rob went to tribal council and had one more trick for his tribe. Here's Nicole from California.
So raise your glass and dump out all of your belongings. Search by Boston Rob. Those immunity idols have been found. Don't let them see you, Adam and Denise. Just play Boston Rob, check. Just come on in, come on in. Dump your bags. Just play Boston Rob, check your bags. Just come on in, dump your bags.
That was from Pink Briefs of the Specialist.
Oh, man. How was the Specialist, by the way? You saw him recently, right?
Yeah, he was at the 10-year anniversary party. He seemed like he had a great time. He seemed like very complimentary on social media.
Was he handing out names to peeps?
No, he gave a great interview to Kobe and Lauren on the red carpet, which I highly recommend people check out.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. I've been meaning to check it out. That's a good tip.
He talked a lot about his book, and I think a lot of people have been really clamoring for Philip Shepherd to get on Paraphrase podcast and talk about.
Yes. As an aspiring novelist myself, I'm going to have to really study that closely, see what I can learn.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Josh, last week, everybody loved the episode recap from Will from America.
Yes.
So he's back once again to tell us all about this week on Survivor.
Denise, idol find. Denise says goodbye. Tony wants to climb. We don't quite know how he's still alive. Danny's a goner, this is not Penny's blood.
Whoa.
She could not survive the blood tonight.
Wow.
That was Will from America.
Powerful. Powerful. And
if you want more Will from America, you got to check out this week on the SoundCloud because he has some song dedicated to you, Josh Wiggler.
Oh, no. Oh, God. That makes me so nervous. My anxiety. Oh, gosh. Okay, cool. It's a date. It's a date. Will from America on fire. Loving this. This is a great look. Great look.
It's not particularly inappropriate, but that the story of Prince Oberyn is in my mind, and I don't know how much of a victory lap people should take. Okay.
Oh. All right. Oh gosh. Okay. Oh god. Right. Oh my okay. god.
All right. It'll make Does sense when you listen to it.
Okay. Well, that could be an earthquake.
Yeah.
Could happen if I remember right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He celebrated very early. Okay. All right. Next up.
Oh no! You mean it's bad for me?
No, it's very good. It's good for you. It's fine.
Okay.
For you.
Okay. Okay. Oh gosh. Oh god.
Okay.
All right.
Next up was Brooklyn Zed talking about the power couple working across from the edge of extinction.
Keeps bequeathing in things from EOE advantages and idols. So bored, oh Lord. I mean, Jeff, saved you without power, really? We haven't come up with a better name for that yet.
That was from the dynamic duo of Paul McCartney Yates and Chris Stevie Wonderwood.
That's really good. Safety without power, guys. Like, don't roll that out until you got the name for it.
Second season in a row.
Oh, I mean, like, so, I, and it, it took me a minute to remember where that was. That's the thing Janet turned down, right?
She did.
Safety Without Power. What a bad name for a thing on Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's better, but you get the guy gotta do better than the Safety Without Power. That sounds like a band. You know?
That was Safety Without Power.
Yeah, without Shane Powers. You know, like, that sounds like a band.
Yeah. Stuff. What about, like, the Parachute Idol?
The like, the Golden Parachute is fun. I was thinking, like the Smoke Bomb, where, like, you could be like, all right, peace out, I'm done. Mm-hmm. See you guys later.
Yeah.
I also thought it could be a fun way to tweak the mechanics of it if... the way that you play it, if it's like a physical object, Jeff like calls for everybody to go and vote. Mm-hmm. Whoever has the Safety Without Power has to probably be like positioned to be like the first person to get up and go. Or maybe not, but like either way, like they go to the voting booth.
They don't come back.
They drop the bomb and into the urn and then they don't come back. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, wait, where is he? And then Jeff's like, oh, I guess that means he played Safety Without Power. Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah.
I just feel like that would be more of a moment of like, where the hell is Jeremy?
Mm-hmm. Where's He's Jeremy? Gone.
Who's Jeremy? Yeah. You know, so that's great. But I think the name needs a lot of work. I'm not mad at the idea, but the name is Safety Without Power.
The great
it's a hit new single.
The great Puya this weekend, celebrating a birthday.
Oh, nice. Said, happy birthday, Puya.
Can we call Jeremy's advantage the SpongeBob meme advantage?
Yeah, I saw that. That was great.
A good one.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get out. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's better than Safety Without Power.
Safety Without Power? Come on, Survivor. Just take a breath.
Right.
Take a breath. Let's everybody take a breath here. You know, it'd be a cool idea. Safety Without Power. Like, just come on.
Yeah.
Everyone rein it in.
It's like that was like the placeholder name, and they were gonna come up with a
they
name before the start of the
and
season,
they
and they forgot to come up with it. Like, when I have to scramble, and then didn't write in the name of what the wand off artist is, and then I have to scramble and say, pink briefs of the specialist. When, like, oh man, I forgot to write something.
Right. Sometimes you just gotta improv. And, it, you know, in fairness, they had other things on their mind, I think, at that point in the Survivor filming cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just didn't get around to fixing the name. But maybe for next time, guys.
Josh,
you come up with a better name.
Next up, here's a song all about something else that went down at this tribal council. Here's Dean Wagner.
I don't know. It looked like a hole.
Adam walks his torch in the tribal. But it takes him way too long to find the torch hole. And Jeff is like, man. So Adam. Now you need to take your seat next to Ben and Denise and hurry up, please, so we can start tribal. But first you need to find that hole.
So find a
hole. It's not a hole.
It looked like a hole.
It's not a hole.
That was Figgy and Taylor Swift. Josh,
I'm an easy mark. You make a wand off about Adam not knowing where the hole is, and I laugh at it. A simple man.
Josh, this week, we saw where Tony built a giant ladder to the sky, but Tyson remarked that maybe he did not fill out all the forms before going on the show. Here's Token Cheen's Ryan.
He's surely joking. I know we signed waivers before we came out here, but I don't know if there was a ladder clause in the contract.
Tony did not sign the ladder clause. Climbing up the breadfruit tree last episode. Just try to top that mule, because you are a fool. to think your loop was better than my ladder strategy.
Tony did not sign the ladder clause.
He did not. But Josh, it's weird that we are playing holiday songs in February. We only thought it would be fair to have a holiday song for our Jewish listeners.
Oh,
Rob has a podcast too. Here's Crazy Dave.
Yulquanica, Yulquanica, please tweet some more. Just be careful, do not tweet a spoiler. You're good at explaining the things we don't see. Though it's really weird when you tweet about cat memes.
Yulquan on Twitter is a lot.
Instagram.
No. Girthwise, yeah. Maybe. Wow. Some of the things that Yule is tossing out there on Yon social medias.
Who knew?
Hunapu. Yikes to some of this. But more, please. Yule Kwan, one of the great Twitter followers of all time, it turns out. It's a real surprise to me.
Now,
I guess it shouldn't be, right? You know?
Yeah.
Social media savvy kind of guy. Mm.
Yeah, he knows the algorithm.
Now I'm nervous.
Josh, we talked about the ladder that Tony built, and it was something that captured the hearts and minds of Wombat Nation. And we got so many submissions all about Tony's ladder. I present to you a bit of a mashup. Of the
allowable
best.
Again. Remember, allowable. This is fine. Everyone feel good about this.
Here comes a little bit from Wombat's Nation all about Tony's ladder.
There's a policeman who's sure that his bamboo is strong, and he's building the stairway to bread fruit. When he gets it, he'll show that Yule's rope method was slow. And he'll shout from the treetops, top that Yule.
Wow.
When your safety is at stake, you dream about climbing up there. But what if your neck breaks? Just look at the stick that you'll use. How could you wish for more? They're just like Angelinas. That's what the ladder's for. Up in a tree. Tony, who needs a spy shack when you get fruit snacks dangerously? When he gets bored, he overplays. Give out some string, he said, for days. Fruit will be gathered from a string ladder up in a tree.
How is Tony still
alive?
That ladder was just sticks and twine. Wanda, how is Tony still alive? How is Tony still alive? He absolutely should have died. Wanda, how is Tony still alive?
Everybody call 911. Tony about to fall off a sketchy ladder. The box of breadfruit, y'all, must be in the main food group of a llama. It's like that old expression that they always say, eat a breadfruit a day to keep Dr. Mike away. If that ladder's big, we'll get more than enough to split. But if you're small in stature, only one donut will fit.
Wonder, 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 wonder.
There's always gonna be another breakthrough. I'm always gonna be on the move. If I don't knock you out my mind, this game I'm sure to lose. Ain't about how high this food is. Ain't about what happens if I fall down. It's goodbye.
Guys, don't worry, it's designed to be like this.
That was the epic ladder montage all about Tony and the breadfruit from
Unbelievable.
In order, Charlie from Australia, Matt from Waterloo, Abe in Los Angeles or lower Alabama.
It could be
Jordan from Vancouver and Christy from Arkansas.
Unbelievable. Very, very funny. Tony and the Ladder is one of the greatest things that's ever happened.
We got so many wand-offs about Tony and the Ladder.
I'm sure. I think we're going to be unpacking there were easily Tony's Ladder
five
for generations
more Tony Ladder wand-offs that could have made the show.
Unbelievable. You simply make a ladder. You simply bring it to the jungle. You simply climb up. You simply grab the papaya, even though I didn't grab papaya. You simply come down the ladder. You simply bring the ladder back to camp. You simply sit down the ladder. You simply open up the papaya that I didn't get, and then you simply eat it.
Does Tony think every fruit is a papaya?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's just like a blanket word for fruit. Oh, yeah, we're just going to grab some more of that papaya over there. That's a coconut. Yeah, papaya. Well, don't eat those papaya. They may be these are berries, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe maybe papaya is the word fruit in Tony. In talking llama.
In llama. Yeah, maybe he thinks that just everybody has caught up to llama speak. Everybody's been studying the tape for Winners at War. Papaya as a blanket word for fruit is amazing.
that would have been maybe Evolution Strategy Volume 5. Yeah. That's going to be a real runner.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Josh, it's time to get to the top five songs in Wombat's Nation here on this historic week in the Wand-Off.
Yes.
Let's bring back another mashup of two Wand-Off weekly champions. One is one half of our most recently crowned champion. The other is one half of Becky and Taylor. Here's Adam B. and Taylor in a first-time collaboration talking about some of the highlights from this week's episode.
No, no, don't worry, guys. Don't worry. It's designed to be like this.
He's surely joking. How is this guy still alive?
This song isn't just about Tony.
Oh, twist.
It's also about Adam Blow. It's not in the way he persuaded Janice to give him the idle half, not to poverty.
That's a terrible.
It's not in the way he turned into Malcolm Freeman 2.0.
It's a bit over the top.
Where's the hole?
Like a hole.
That was from the band Toto the Bushman.
Toto the Bushman is amazing. Yeah, we've talked obviously a ton about how great Tony has been this season so far, but and we talked about the whole thing, but literally the whole thing. But Adam has just been a delight this season. I'm so delighted by Adam Klein this season. Even like when he was speaking in like 0.5 speed for one confessional for the first time ever. Marriage. Boston, Robin, Amber's tap, marriage. He's just incredible. I'm so happy to have Adam on this season. He's just been a source of pure delight.
So far, so great.
So far, so great for Adam Klein. I'm glad that song was a two for grace.
It was a twofer. The two big storylines that the wand offers were concerned with this week.
Very smart. Very smart.
Next up, we have a guy, Mike, from Massachusetts, who may or not know a thing about crab cakes, who has a song about this survivor economy.
In this survivor economy?
Turn around. Every now and then production gets a bit antsy because they think the game is stale. Hear me out. What if there was money and we'll call them fire tokens? It's another layer of duplicity. Hear me out. Every now and then the twists are making us nervous, but the players seem to like it this time.
First one out.
Natalie and Jeremy were already allies, so the 20s gotta say her goodbye.
Rahab's wife.
Even though she wasn't playing cards. Everybody thought she'd make it far. And as they go to the edge, all their money goes to Sele. No bequeathing to Dakar. And I just don't understand it. Danny's voted out 8-1. But Denise gets her coin. And Boston, Rob, and Jeremy are rolling in dough. While Tony's building ladders cause he's so freaking bored. So freaking bored. And Natalie is chilling while she's out on the edge. But even she has two, so she's in the 1%. In this economy, the winners are at war tonight. The winners are at war tonight.
Once upon a time, everybody had won. But Sanders spent hers on an idol.
There's nothing I can do. A token eclipse of Dakar.
Token eclipse of Dakar.
Once upon a time, everybody had won. But now there isn't one for all. Nothing to bequeath, a token eclipse of Dakar.
So dumb. So stupid. I love it.
That was from Bonnie Tyler Weiger.
No. Tyler Weigert's long retired. Josh Wigler's retiring. Weigert's done. Unbelievable. How dare you?
Sorry about that.
No, Tyler, it's fine. Oh my God. It's my birthday with Fairplay's birthday coming up real soon, guys. I hope you bequeathed us some nice presents on March 11th, which I know is a live know-it-alls in North Hollywood as well.
It's all happening all one night.
I'm sadly missing. I would have loved to have been there. Bask in the glory. Can't do
it. We'll have a cake.
Okay, please. Yes. Please, please, please.
But it's a
holy crap cakes.
No, not a savory cake. What a terrible birthday. 35 sucks. I'm out. Forget that.
The number three song here in Wombat's Nation this week comes to us from Dave from Ohio, who has a very important question about something that went on at this week's tribal council.
Yeah.
Wanda, Wanda Survey, Wanda, Wanda Survey, Wanda, Wanda Survey, Wanda.
Seems that Adam's week was just a little bit confusing. First, he had to stop Denise from giving advantages apart. Now this tribal floor is like an optical illusion. Tell me where in the floor is
Adam Klein's short hole.
Well, the torches are all glaring while his primates have been staring. Stupid thing won't go in there. What's the guy to do? Yes, they're giving him the stink eye like when Jessica got pink eye. Tell me where in the floor is
Adam Klein's torch hole.
In his previous season, the floor gave no reason to ask for some help from somebody like Ben. Where in the floor is Adam Klein's torch hole? Where in the floor is Adam Klein's torch hole? Where in the floor is Adam Klein's torch hole? Where in the floor is Adam Klein's torch hole?
That was from the group Purple Rockapella.
Wow. I can't imagine Adam Klein ever thought there'd be so much attention on his torch hole this season. Sure, he was expecting a lot of other things to be discussed, but the torch hole, not as much. where we are in this place in podcasting is ridiculous that we're talking so much about the torch hole. I thought we had talked about the whole thing, but guess not.
No.
Amazing.
No. Also, oh yeah, happy birthday to Jessica Lewis mentioned in the song also.
Yes.
All right.
Happy birthday indeed.
Last week, Corey B made it to the top five, but did not make it into the top three. He's back with his wife, the lovely Shelley, to give it another try, talking about Tony's new invention.
Thinking on projects is fun. Let me just build the ladder. Start doing crazy things.
Oh, so let's take a walk. Simply climb up, cause I simply want a papaya. Just carry it in. There's no need to fear. Don't break it right here. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it looks like this. Oh, breaking out the rug, but I'll show you. Oh, look how tight I strung the twine. So use my bamboo tight ladder. It's my bamboo.
That was Bamboo Tied Ladder by the group Marooned 5.
Oh, I get it, because you get marooned on Survivor.
That's right.
Amazing. It's glorious. Really, with the design work that Tony put into the ladder, is it any wonder that Tony was able to save me from Ghost Island via rocket ship tree? It should come as no surprise that he has these capabilities. He also uploaded his consciousness to a computer. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't looking for the idols. He was able to build all that.
Yeah, that's right. Thank God. I needed him in that moment. He really delivered.
Josh, we have one final song here in the top five of the Wandoff. The number five song in Wombats Nation comes to us from the Wandoff's Ultimate Bridesmaids, Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish, never winners of the Wandoff, are back.
I spent some good time with Jordan Kalish the other week. Jordan, I hope the car is doing better. I hope the tire's repaired. I hope everything's good with you. Love Jordan Kalish.
Josh, if you had to guess, is this song about A, Tony's ladder, or B, Adam's torch hole?
I mean, frankly, considering this is written by Jordan Kalish, I can't imagine it's not about Survivor Guatemala. It's a real shock to me that that's not even a C.
Here's that's Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish.
Everyone knows that I'm such a super duper fan. The biggest Survivor stan should know where my torch goes. Right in the hole. But when I try to find that hole where my torch should go, need it Ben, my twist team bro, showed me the proper spot. So now I know, put my torch in you, like Jeff wants me to. It'll fit so right, burn through tribal tonight. Put my torch in you, right behind my crew. Hopefully Boston Rob will stop laughing too.
That was from the supergroup Cowboys to Men.
Oh man, there's a split something joke in here that I don't want to get into. Man. Oh boy. Oh man. What else is there to say?
Rob has a website.com /VoteWanda is where you go to cast your vote for this record-setting week of the Wanda Off.
It's crazy. 65. Of 63. Course. 63. 63.
You can listen to all of these songs on the Wanda Off SoundCloud playlist uploaded every week to patreon.com/RHAP. You can listen to all these songs, the full versions over and over until your heart's content, and learn everything about Tony's Ladder and Adam's Torch Hole.
Casey, as always, the irony, thank you for your service.
The ladder takes you up and the torch hole takes you down.
Yeah. We're talking about heaven and hell here on the Wand Off this week. It's really angels and demons. Dan Brown would be pleased.
Should that be the new Wand Off rating of that for on a scale of Adam's torch hole to Tony's ladder?
In a few years, when the Wand Off gets rebooted on a different podcast network, a la American Idol to ABC, that can be implemented. But let's just stay with the standards. Standard ratings for now.
Josh, until next time, remember, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table. Mm-hmm. Oh, Casey Kasem is gone.
Oh, wow. Tough week for Casey. Casey had a lot of work to do.
A lot of work. Well, actually,
record-setting wand-offs, and most of them were euphemisms for body parts.
Yes, yes. First off, a huge amount of thanks to top five human being Randy Newpool,
of course,
who
always
goes through, starts all from the, you know, the moment the episode comes. Somebody I think sent in. Oh, I forget if this week or last week. It must have been this week. Somebody sent in a wand-off like 30 minutes after the episode is over. Randy Newpool starts listening to all of the wand offs, uploading everything to the SoundCloud playlist, updating a Excel sheet, you know, and then Casey comes in, you know, and then basically spends all day Monday going through everything. But Randy works, you know, all week
Randy's
long
amazing.
To get the wand
amazing.
Off ready.
Top three human being? It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible the best person ever don't at me.
Yes. Of course, Jason Curtis Rivera does all the music videos for
person
for the
as well. Very good person.
And of course, Kurt Clark, you know, we have no problem getting our poll where it needs to be with the tabulator.
Thanks to Kurt.
He does not need any help from Ben to guide the poll where it needs to be, because every week it's at robiswebsite.com/vote.
Wanda. Okay. Boy, what a week. Do you think will this be the most submissions we get this season?
No. I'm afraid people are like getting in like their last licks here. They're like, oh, the Wandoff's leaving. I gotta participate before I don't have a chance. Like those people who've been on the fence about it, being like, I don't know if I should do a Wandoff. I've been thinking about, all right, I'll do it because it's going away. I think it's going up. Like Tony on the ladder, I think we're just vaulting towards the sky. I think we haven't reached the limit yet.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
All right.
It's alarming.
Well, all right. Of course.
In a great way. I mean, talk about hard jobs with the Wanda. I got the cushiest gig in the house. I just show up and laugh good.
Well, we still have a lot coming up here, of course, that had a great week of podcasts so far between the Know-It-Alls and Jamal and Reem, who was wonderful. I had a lot of fun here today. We still have Twitch coming. Be on the lookout for that on Tuesday. And then I'm going right from this podcast into our monthly patron cast, where I'll be taking calls from the listeners of Rob's podcast on Wednesday night. It'll be our second time out for the Survivor pregame show, where I'll be taking calls from the RHAP listeners as they're getting ready. Give me predictions for week 3 of Survivor. Show me what's going on at their viewing parties. And then we'll get back into the Survivor Know-It-Alls Wednesday night. And what a great week we have on the podcast coming up, Josh, that I know you are very excited for this week's recap.
Yeah, I got the spoilers on who the recap guest is by peeking behind the curtain on some of the
internal documents,
the sausage making of RHAP. Yes, I peeped a document and I texted Rob in all caps the name of this guest.
Yes.
I'll let you say the words.
Yes. This week on the recap show, I'm going to be putting a phone call into the great Rupert Boneham.
It's
is
crazy.
Going to
That's awesome.
Join me. We'll hear what he has to say about everything that's going
on. Do you think he's going to pre-record his responses to your questions for the podcast?
I hope not.
That could be interesting.
Yeah.
If someone just like operated a Rupert soundboard mm-hmm. in response to the stuff.
We'll see. We'll see what
Could
happens on Thursday.
Could be fun. Good. I can't wait.
High variance. We'll see. Who knows what it's going to be like on
I'm
Thursday.
Excited.
But then on Friday, I'm going to have our feedback show with Gabby Pascuzzi. So we'll be able to talk about anything.
Amazing.
Anything that we don't get to with Rupert, we'll be able to answer on our feedback show with Gabby. So that's going to be a big week 3 coming
Gabby
up on the
podcast.
Gabby
recently booked for an upcoming post-show recaps appearance to tease that up. A couple people, some exciting post-show recaps guests coming in the future for podcast plans that have yet to be formally announced, but will be announced soon.
Okay. Josh, anything you want to tell people to check out while you're here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot going on post-show recaps. There is so much happening. The Lost Down the Hatch podcast is continuing at its weekly pace. Mike Bloom and I are in the early going of season 2. On the recap right now, Mike and Jessica Lease are both continuing on with Star Trek Picard, which I still have to catch up on. I've only seen the premiere so far. Heard there was some eye stuff recently.
Oh.
Not excited about that
with
a big
Borg?
Eye phobia.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Jessica Lease and I, Jess and I, are firing up our Walking Dead podcast again as The Walking Dead has returned for the second half of season 10. We're going to be recording our recap of that very soon. Better Call Saul has returned with a 2-night season 5 premiere.
I already watched one night.
That is typically a Rob C. and Antonio Mazzaro podcast joint, with things being as crazy as they are on RHAP. I'm going to be hopping in on the podcast this season to help.
I am passing the torch to your hole.
Yes. I will be taking the torch from Rob on Better Call Saul this season. But Rob, you're going to join us for the premiere recap.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be on for the 2-night premiere recap coming up on Tuesday of this week.
We got a big recording day on Tuesday. Tuesday, we're recording Down the Hatch in the morning. And then I've got therapy, and then after therapy, and really therapy should be at the end of this day. Then I've got therapy, and then I've got the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast.
You're really
podcast.
Taking the Fred Armisen approach to taking us through your day.
I've got therapy, and then I've got the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast.
Yes.
with you and Akiva. And then I've got like a 2 hour window, and then we get into the Better Call Saul recording. Mm-hmm. And then like 5 minutes after that, the Walking Dead podcast. Yeah. So a very long Tuesday of podcasting for me at post show recaps. Yes, the Wiggle Room is on its final voyage here. We are out at sea and having a blast. But I'm not going anywhere in the extended RHAP universe. You just got to watch some shows. Or if you're not going to watch those shows ever, just listen to us talk nonsense. Mm-hmm. We have a really, really fun time on post-show recaps, and we would love to have you aboard for the ride.
All right. Josh Wiggler, great job. Hope you guys enjoyed this supersized wand off this week. Keep them coming. Email us your wand offs. wiggleroom@robhasawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
A season of the very best. Cassandra, Tyson, Rob, Tony, Parvin, all the rest. Survivors now their job. And they've all traveled to the coast to boost their revenue. But there is one I love the most, the 40-something Jew.